The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Welcome back to a new week at Superhuman Radio. This is a show that I've wanted to do for a very, very long time. You know, we talk about stuff on this show. The audience gets involved. We're all very, very involved in this fight that we fight against the medical orthodoxy, against the pharmaceutical agenda. We're fighting for our rights to have access to healthy, life-giving foods. And none of this would even have started if it wasn't for a man whose name is never spoken about. It is spoken about on my show periodically, only because I learned who he was from my good friend Randy Roach, the keeper of physical culture today. And that is Bernard McFadden. And my guest today, Mark Adams, recently wrote a book called Mr. America, paying homage to Bernard McFadden. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good, Carl.
Okay, so we have to start with why you even decided to write about Bernard McFadden, because he's pretty much been all but forgotten by anybody.
Oh yeah,
who thinks they thrive in exercise, fitness, nutrition, and physical culture.
Yeah, well, it's funny, if you speak to anyone who's like age 80 or older, who's into physical fitness, they'll know McFadden, because he was so famous before World War II. Anybody younger like myself, I just came across it, McFadden's name, because I'd been promoted to fitness editor of GQ magazine back in the mid-90s, and I was looking for some story ideas, and I found myself in a thrift shop in upstate New York, and I came across a stack of magazines that said physical culture on top, which was a term that I was only vaguely familiar with. So I opened it up, and there, you know, are pictures from the 1920s of, you know, people flexing, you know, women in bathing suits. There's stories about raw food and weightlifting and how cigarettes cause heart disease. And I thought, what is this thing? And I looked in the front. It says Physical Culture, a Bernard McFadden publication. And he wrote an editor's letter in every issue. And just going through the issues that were there and reading these letters, which were called the editor's viewpoint, was like stepping into a physical fitness time machine. I mean, it sounded like something from 50 years in the future.
And so he really had, back then, he had a real grasp on what is today considered the root of all chronic disease.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, if you broke it down, according to McFadden, disease was caused not by germs, but by overeating and lack of exercise. Those are the two primary causes.
And by the medical orthodoxy, which was already gaining power back then, he was pretty much ridiculed, correct?
He was the American Medical Association's public enemy number one.
Really?
Definitely. Yep.
And think about that for a second. Why would any medical group be afraid of someone who is saying, eat healthy food and exercise?
Right. Well, that was their orthodoxy at the time. You know, McFadden's magazine, Physical Culture, which was hugely popular, that was one of the most surprising things I found. You know, in the 1930s, at the height of the Depression, Physical Culture was about as popular as Men's Health magazine is today, in terms of the number of copies it sold.
Wow.
And, you know, it was sort of a haven for all of these groups that the AMA had essentially declared war on. Chiropractors, osteopaths, anything involving naturopathy, and they lumped all that together with any other crazy idea that was out there. You know, people healing with radio waves and things like that. They just said anything that doesn't fall under our somewhat limited sized tent is evil, and we're going to do whatever we can to get rid of it.
How opportunistic! And you know, this is a whole different subject, but this is exactly what we are fighting against today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the pursuit of our own physical health.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was even back then, we were fighting against it even back then. The powers that be, it always comes down to profits. It really does.
Yeah. So. No, the similarities between the fight that McFadden was fighting in the 1930s and the fight that a lot of people are fighting today are very, very similar.
Okay, so McFadden rose to power. He became a publishing mogul, didn't he?
He did. He did. He started with Physical Culture magazine in about 1899, and that was pretty successful for about 20 years. And then he started a magazine that was the first what's called a confessional magazine,
in which
people basically bragged about their personal problems and, you know, told scandalous stories. And that was called True Story, and that made him a multi-millionaire.
Oh my gosh! So he was the one of the first confessional tabloid. He was the first confessional tabloid producers then.
Yeah, he basically invented that genre with True Story.
So he was highly intelligent. He knew that people wanted to know that sort of stuff, and he gave it to them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. He had his fingers on the pulse of what, you know, a mass audience wanted to a very great degree. You know, I mean, the interesting thing is that he took a lot of the money from True Story and tried to use it to get people interested in the ideas that were in Physical Culture, but he was only moderately successful.
So he was trying to use that as a bridge, sort of, to try
absolutely.
To...
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Well,
very
yeah,
interesting.
He actually started a foundation called the McFadden Foundation, which with $5 million, which the whole purpose of that was to get people to live more healthy lives, but it didn't really pan out in the end.
Now, while he became a mogul... Mm-hmm. His wealth, if you had to take it into today's metrics, how wealthy was he?
I mean, he had a fortune of about $30 million, which I think works out to about $250 million today.
Today, yeah. So he was not small potatoes by any means.
No, he owned the third biggest publishing company in America.
Really?
You know? Yeah. So it was a big deal.
Now, since he had his own publishing company,
mm-hmm.
that really gave him a bully pulpit to work from and against the medical orthodoxy, so I could see why they were afraid of him.
Well, they were, and what happened in the 1930s, which was when he had his greatest influence and greatest amount of money, is he bought a magazine called Liberty. Liberty was a competitor to the Saturday Evening Post, which was, you know, essentially the biggest magazine in the country at that time. And he would write his editorials every week. And, you know, he had such a large audience that he is, you know, generally credited with helping get Franklin Roosevelt elected.
Really?
Because he pushed so hard for him in 1932, yeah.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. So he had a lot of followers, interestingly enough, during the Depression. And here we find ourselves yet again in a pseudo-depression, if you will.
Yep.
And we find people flocking to Physical Culture again.
Yep.
What do you think this phenomenon is, in your opinion? Why do people turn to this modality of therapeutic help, if you will, during these times?
I think when money is tight, people say, you know, look, I have to look out for myself. You know, there aren't resources to go around. I can't depend on anybody else to take care of me. And, you know, a light bulb goes on and people say, look, I can do this. I can eat better. I can exercise. I can make sure that, you know, I engage in preventive medicine rather than, you know, going in and getting something fixed later.
Interesting.
I think it's almost identical. If you look at the stories from Physical Culture in the 1930s, they're all about people saying, you know, look, I can live on 20 cents a day and all I'm eating are, you know, fresh vegetables and brown rice and things like that. You know, one of McFadden's biggest battles in his whole career, which he actually won, was to get the nutrients put back into white bread, which happened in the 1930s. White bread in the 1930s was even
worse. So you mean it was less nutritious than today?
It was even less nutritious. The reason why you see on a loaf of white bread it says enriched today is because McFadden argued that Hitler was starving people in Europe of an essential B vitamin, and that we were aiding the Nazis if we didn't enrich our white bread.
Oh, I love that.
He, of course, wanted everyone to eat what he called, you know, Graham bread, whole wheat bread. But he considered it a great victory that he got the bakers to put the nutrients back in the bread. And he fought that for about 40 years before he finally won.
Well, he'd roll into the grave today if he knew that all these companies that are making quote-unquote whole wheat bread today, there's very, very little whole wheat in it, and actually they use a form of plant fertilizer to give it its brown color. I mean, I'm sure that he would. I wish we had a Bernard McFadden today to fight for the people. Part of the problem we have today is that there's no one fighting for us at all. And then you have lobbyists up on Capitol Hill fighting in behalf of large companies, and we're just going down the tubes faster and faster.
Well, what's interesting there is that Upton Sinclair, who, you know, probably is the most, you know, influential person in the 20th century in terms of getting, you know, food additives regulated and dealt with, he was a McFadden follower. He was an acolyte of McFadden's. He used to go to McFadden back in the around 1910, Battle Creek, Michigan, which is now probably best known as the home of Kellogg's.
Yeah, the cereal capital.
Yeah.
Right.
That was a spa town. People would take the train in there from New York and Chicago and, you know, get flushed out at both ends and, you know, eat a very healthy diet and go on long walks. And what McFadden would do is he would starve people, you know, put them on a fast for 7 or 14 or however how many days, and then start pumping huge amounts of raw milk into them every half hour, an 8-ounce glass of raw milk. Which, you know, he would wait for the body's metabolism to slow down and then just start pumping them with this rich raw milk, and they would put on, you know, massive amounts of muscle quickly.
Really?
And Upton Sinclair was a huge fan of this.
Wow, that's intriguing. We have to take a commercial break.
Yes.
When we come back, I want to learn more about how McFadden even found physical culture. I want you to talk about his childhood a little bit.
Sure.
We're talking today with Mark Adams. He is the author of Mr. America. And this is an amazing book. I'm telling you that you must go out and get this book. If you are going to be a keeper of the torch of physical culture, you have to understand who Bernard McFadden was and is today. You can go to the website MrAmericaBook.com to learn more. I guess people can go to Amazon.com to buy it, right, Mark?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so Amazon.com. You got to get this book. It's a fantastic book. I couldn't put it down. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in Can-See eye drops. I've been using Can-See for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day and the results are visible. You can find Can-See eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. Can-See eye drops. The name says it all.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Finally, a bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit rlssupplements.com today.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Uh-oh. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I just want to remind you that OP Resource offers Superhuman Radio listeners an additional 25% off their already low, low prices. If you're looking for IGF-1 long R3 or pegylated mechanogrowth factor or growth hormone releasing peptide, you can save an additional 25% off when you go to opresource.net and use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25, SUPERHUMAN, the number 2, the number 5. My guest, Mark Adams, is the author of Mr. America. We're talking about Bernard McFadden. If you don't know who he is, you need to know who he is. You need to get this book. You need to read this book so you can understand the origins of physical culture. This man was so far ahead of his time. If people would have just paid attention to him, we wouldn't have all of the disease we have in this country today. Okay, I guess you're right. We wouldn't have big pharmaceutical companies then, but I got a funny feeling we could live without them anyway. Okay, so Mark, Bernard didn't step into this life as a gifted child. I mean, he had a rough go, didn't he?
No. He had the classic start for a great strong man, in that he was sort of a sickly, weak child. Grew up in St. Louis just after the Civil War, in rural Missouri, which was a rough place at that time. The James Gang was running around. He's sick through his early teens. Some people thought he would die of tuberculosis. And then at about age 15, he happens to wander into a Turnverein, a German sort of social and health club, and, sees these strong men exercising and, taking hot and cold baths and engaging in hydropathy and things like that. And he is absolutely mesmerized. So he saves up the $10 initiation fee, goes in, starts working out like an absolute madman. And in a matter of weeks, he finds that the symptoms of his TB are going away. He builds up muscle. He feels fantastic. And a matter of a few years after that, he opens his own studio in St. Louis. It's something of a success. He goes on to New York, where he poses for a fellow named Sereny, who's one of the great photographers of the age, puts up these posters all over town, opens his own studio in New York. That's a success, and that's what leads to Physical Culture magazine in about 1898. But when he started Physical Culture, it wasn't as a magazine. It was sort of an accident. He started publishing a pamphlet to go along with an exerciser, like a wall mount exerciser, like a pulley thing.
Right.
And people were so excited about the pamphlet that they started writing in and asking him for, are there other editions? And he said, look, I should start publishing this thing every month. And it was a near instant success. There was such a hunger for this sort of information.
Wow. That is amazing.
Yeah.
Now he was an orphan as a child also, wasn't he?
He was. His father was a horrible, violent alcoholic who basically abandoned the family when he was 4. And his mother did die of tuberculosis when he was about 9. She sent him off to an orphanage to live, a place where he essentially lived on peanuts for the entire year. And I think that may have given him some ideas about fasting, because his calories were so restricted.
Right, hypocaloric. I mean, he was a big believer, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but if you fall ill, that the best thing you can do is to stop eating. And I understand.
Yes.
I actually, it's funny, before I even read that passage about him, mm-hmm. This is something that I've come to the conclusion myself. If you're terribly ill, the best thing you can do is not to eat, because of two things. Number one, the body has its own reserves that it can tap into for mm-hmm. nutrition.
Right.
And so you're not wasting a lot of energy digesting food, number one.
Right.
Number two, if you give the body a greater challenge, it's like it's like if your elbow hurts, you're complaining about your elbow, and then you drop a really heavy weight on your foot, and you forget your elbow hurts,
Right.
And
right.
so if you start...
Well, what he said was he had a job on a farm for a little while, and he said, look, when the animals get sick, what do? They stop eating.
Oh.
Are we the only mammal who this doesn't apply to us?
Interesting. So that's how he came to the conclusion.
Exactly.
All right, so he grows up an orphan. He changed his name. Why did he change his name? Is it because he hated his dad?
No, we don't know exactly why he did it. I think he did it because he wanted to, I mean, he was a great, great self-promoter. He actually carved out a whole career as a professional wrestler in the Midwest. He was one of the great professional wrestlers
really?
Of the age, yeah. And I think he just changed his name because it sounded more manly. Bernard.
Yeah, exactly. Bernard. And he even changed the spelling of his last name because it was actually originally M.C.
Fadden. He did.
And he made it MacFadden.
That may have been a reaction to his father. I don't know. But, you know, Bernard MacFadden, I mean, it really is a name that rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, yeah. So his earliest ventures into bodybuilding, if you would, or physique development.
Yes.
How was that accepted or handled by an American public that was in the throes of a depression?
In the 1930s?
Yeah, yeah.
It was extremely popular. You know, I mean, it was for the same reasons I mentioned before. You know, I think it's a sense of I'm going to take control of my body, and here's the physical manifestation of me taking control of my body. He had an entire, you know, 8, 10, 12-page section called The Body Beautiful, and people would send in photographs of themselves, you know, men stripped to the waist, women in two-piece bathing suits, and just, you know, showing off their beautiful muscles that they developed through the techniques that they'd learned in Physical Culture magazine.
Right.
There were hundreds of thousands of these people. They didn't make a big deal out of it outside of that small subculture. It wasn't as big as it is today, but there was definitely a large group of people who were doing that sort of thing.
Now, something that wasn't very popular back then, which was divorce. He seemed to have divorced several times and remarried, correct?
Yes. He was married 4 times, and I get the feeling he was not the easiest man to live with.
Ah, so maybe that's what it was more than anything.
Exactly.
And his last marriage was in his 80s, right? He was about 80 years old when he married some very young blonde.
He married a woman named Johnny Lee, who was a vivacious, I think, divorcee from Texas. And she was sort of a health practitioner herself. And I think he may have done that because it thought it would make him look younger and more virile. He had just come off. He had actually almost won a seat as U.S. Senator from Florida because he had a lot of holdings in Florida. And I think after that, he decided he needed sort of a new image. So he went out and found this young, vivacious, young, blonde bride.
Yeah, I guess that a lot of guys did that back in those days. They
exactly.
thought if they were with a younger girl, it implied some sort of virility or something
exactly.
like that. He was probably one of the earliest proponents of raw food eating. He ate raw meat. He ate, obviously, he was a big proponent of raw milk, which we talk about all the time on this show.
Yeah.
But he even took it to some real extremes, didn't he?
He did. I mean, he was a believer in raw everything. You know, I mean, a salad for MacFadden was, you know, could be a head of cabbage shredded with mineral oil on it, which is essentially, you know, Johnson's baby oil.
Yeah. Ugh.
And that was, you know, that's a raw salad for MacFadden. You know, he didn't eat anything on Mondays. He took one day off a week every week from eating. He didn't encourage most people to eat meat because I don't think he thought that most people had his discipline, and
right.
he was probably right. But yeah, he would eat raw meat. He would eat all sorts of meat.
And he was really probably one of the earliest, without realizing it, one of the earliest followers of ancestral lifestyles. I mean, he was known to walk up to 25 miles from Nyack, which is really kind of upstate New York, into the city barefoot.
Yeah, he would do that several times a week. Probably my favorite MacFadden stunt was one that he didn't even do himself, but in 1926, I think it was, he took the physical director of Physical Culture magazine, a guy who was already in phenomenal shape, and got him to walk from Chicago to Pittsburgh barefoot without consuming a single calorie.
And the guy did it.
Yeah, he did it. He wanted to walk from Chicago to New York, but so much fat burned off his body that the pads in the bottom of his feet burned off, and the bones, you could hear him crunching when he walked on the asphalt.
But he did it anyway. He walked
578 miles he made it without eating a single calorie.
And so did he attest to some epiphany or some change, life-changing of occurrence from this long walk?
Yeah, he just said, you know, look, it shows how far you can go, you know, if you don't stop yourself. And that was, you know, walking was a big thing for MacFadden. He said basically it's the perfect exercise for a lot of people because what you do is you go out, you walk. When you get tired, you stop. When you're not tired anymore, you walk some more. And you can do it every single day, and you're never going to get sore, and you're never going to hurt yourself. So it's easy to do. You know, he would hire a truck in the 1930s and 40s and put a piano player in the back of it and whip up a huge vat of what he called cracked wheat, which is a little bit like farina, and just scoop this stuff out to people who would follow the truck walking hundreds of miles up to his health home in upstate New York, about 300 miles, and they would keep tabs every day on how much weight every person was losing. They would just walk all day, and people would lose, you know, 10, 20, 30 pounds walking over 2 or 3 weeks.
My goodness, that's what Jared from Subway did, basically. He walked for hours and hours every day and just ate one Subway sandwich. Now, I'm not espousing a Subway sandwich by any means, but I'm just saying McFadden really started that whole approach, I guess.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And you know what else I love about the guy? I'm a huge proponent of inversion. I have this whole theory that we form in the womb upside down, and then we spend the next 80 years on our feet.
Yep.
And nourishing the brain is of paramount importance to a fetus.
Yep.
And we spend our time. And so I'm a huge proponent of inversion.
Yep.
And so was McFadden. He used to love to stand on his head.
Well, you know, a lot of new research has come out saying, you know, you have to get the blood flowing at intervals throughout the day. And he, you know, he was one of the first to come out and say that. And he would, you know, stand on his head. He had, in his first magazine office, he had an editor-in-chief, and then there was a room in between, and then there was his office. The room in between was where he would go and wrestle 2 or 3 times a day.
Really?
With a pro wrestler who he hired to come in and grapple with him. And he would, you know, he'd like cut out of a business meeting and say, I'll be back in 30 minutes. And then you'd hear him wrestling in the next room, and they'd come back filled with ideas.
Wow, filled with ideas. I love that. So in other words, it was not just the physical aspect of the wrestling. It was what it did for him mentally. I love
that. Oh, no, he was Mr. Mensana Incorporated.
Do you know I'm going to reveal something right now that in between, during the commercial breaks, I generally drop to the floor and either do push-ups or grab my, I have power block quick change dumbbells that I do reps with in between and then sit back down and do my show. And I don't do it because I feel like it makes me any sharper mentally. I do it because I feel compelled to do something instead of just sitting here for 2 hours on the air.
Right.
And so I love this guy. The more I learn about him, the more I love him. I can't help but realize that, you know, he is the one that started this whole thing. What was Billy Joel's song? We didn't start the fire.
Exactly.
He did. He started the fire.
Well, I like to think of McFadden as like the Elvis of physical fitness. You know, he didn't invent all these things. Most of these ideas go back to the ancient Greeks, of course, you know, eat less and exercise. But what he did was he popularized it and he gave it his own personality so that people could latch onto it and say, okay, this stuff does make sense. You know, and then of course he was a great artist and put his own spin on it. So I think he's the great popularizer and collector of all these ideas that have been floating out there for centuries. And I think everything we do today builds off of what he collected.
Right, right. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up. We're talking with Mark Adams. He is the author of Mr. America. This is the life story of Bernard McFadden. You have to get this book. I promise you that not only will you learn about an amazing person, but you'll learn where it all started. Go to Amazon.com and look for Mr. America and get your copy today. We'll be right back. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5388. And mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get lit up today at appnut.com. Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today, Mark Adams. We're talking about Bernard McFadden. The book is called Mr. America. It is a must-read for every one of you. You know, we are nothing but parroting what Bernard McFadden talked about decades ago. And we're still not getting it because the country is getting sicker and sicker and sicker. I mean, here's a guy, right, Mark? He was totally opposed to candies, cakes, pies, ice cream, anything sugar. He said sugar was bad.
Oh, yeah. 90 years, 100 years before the South Beach Diet came out and said, you know, don't eat anything white. McFadden was saying the exact same thing. You know, I mean, he published in 1912 a 3,000-page encyclopedia of physical culture that told you how to cure, I mean, everything from kleptomania to cancer. And most of the solutions were eat less, or in a lot of cases, eat nothing.
You know what's really funny? I did a show a year and a half, 2 years ago, with a scientist that showed that intermittent fasting,
yeah,
in other words, just like one day a week,
yeah,
is as effective as one of these ridiculously low-calorie diets in increasing SIRT1 and expressing genetic changes that increase longevity. You don't have to starve yourself. You just have to fast one day a week.
A new study just came out a few weeks ago saying basically the same thing. You know, people had much lower rates of heart disease and type 2 diabetes if they did not eat one day a week.
And Bernard was an advocate. He fasted every Monday.
Fasted every Monday, and you know, when his kids got sick, he wouldn't let them have solid food until they got better.
Yeah, yeah. He was also very opposed to vaccines, something we talk about constantly today. We're all so skeptical about the real value of vaccinations and the potential for damage. And back then, he was saying, "Don't vaccinate."
No vaccination, no vivisection. He was definitely one of those guys.
Yeah. And he was against pasteurization. That must have frustrated the heck out of him, because pasteurization became effective in the early 1900s under his tenure.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, he was a huge fan of raw milk. He thought it was nature's perfect food. And he thought if it was heated above 140, 150 degrees, there were key enzymes that got killed, and the body just wouldn't absorb everything that was in there.
Yeah, pasteurized milk is like eating roadkill. It's a dead food. It really is. I mean, I say that all the time on the air. You know, they talk about in the Bible, they talk about the land of milk and honey. The reason they talked about milk was for a reason. You know, it's raw, unpasteurized milk from healthy cows that eat grass and aren't inoculated with a bunch of other junk. Is the greatest in the late 1800s, diabetics could survive if they were given a regular diet of raw milk, because there's not only insulin in raw milk, but there is a transporter enzyme that gets it through the gut, something that the pharmaceutical industry has never been able to do.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's no more magic than raw milk. I also liked his physical culture creed, which he tells people, get out in the sunlight, something we become so phobic about today, and we know that vitamin D deficiencies are causing a lot of disease today.
Yeah, and that's just come back around in the last couple of years, too, heliotherapy. When he had this hotel in upstate New York, I met a guy when I was up there who's about 95 and still in great shape because he follows all McFadden's thinking, who was an instructor at the hotel, and he said, there's a little airport just down the road, and back in the 30s and 40s, the pilots would come and do circles above the hotel because we had nude sunbathing on the roof.
That's great.
Yep.
That's hilarious. So, okay, so now let's talk about McFadden. Kind of left the United States for a little while, didn't he? Did he go to Europe for a while?
He did. In about 1912, he was sort of invited to leave the country. He went to France for a couple of years. He went to England to work on the British version of Physical Culture magazine, and then he went to France as well, and he was absolutely appalled by the French because they ate so much and they didn't exercise very much. And what happened in those two or three years is America's sexual mores had shifted, and McFadden was always a very, pro-contraception, pro-regular sexual relations. And remember, he started the magazine at the tail end of the Victorian era.
Right.
And by the time he came back, World War I had started, and that was really the growth period of Physical Culture magazine, and then True Story. All of that became possible in the late 1910s because America was ready for his ideas.
And so when he was in Europe, did he bring anything back from Europe to the United States? Did he learn anything there that changed any of his opinions or created any new paradigms for him?
I don't recall that he brought back anything amazing from Europe. I think he sort of crystallized a lot of his ideas and put them into the Encyclopedia of Physical Culture. The one European influence on his life, of course, was Eugen Sandow, the great strongman of the 1880s and 1890s. It was when McFadden saw Sandow at the Chicago World's Fair of 1893 that he saw, the absolute possibility of what physical strength could be. And if you go back and read the descriptions of the things that Sandow was doing at that time, lifting a horse, carrying baskets with a half dozen people in them on each shoulder. I mean, it seems absolutely incredible.
Right. No, I know. And Sandow graces the Mr. Olympia trophy today as a result of his, him really being the first bodybuilder, if you will, someone who had aesthetically developed.
But Sandow was such a great bodybuilder. And a specimen of health as well, but he started a rival magazine at the same time as McFadden, and he just didn't have McFadden put it together.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now let's kind of fast forward a little bit. So McFadden has this wonderful influence on America. He's helping people.
Yep.
He is achieving everything. How does he end up dying penniless?
Well, the late 30s, he's at the height of his powers, and then he's fighting the AMA, the American Medical Association, about vaccination and things like that. World War II arrives. Penicillin arrives. Starts saving a lot of lives in the war. People are not interested in hearing about how they have to eat less when food is being rationed with coupons. And, basically their attention is turned to a very dark subject. There's a world war going on. By the time the war ends in 1945, McFadden's been kicked out of his publishing company, basically for skimming money to spend on his political campaigns. He's losing his fortune, and, he's sort of lost the thread in the 5 years of World War II. And ironically, what happens is that, the the pre-baby boom generation, guys like Jack LaLanne, pick up on his ideas. And, you know, there was never a person who was made for television better than Bernard McFadden.
Right.
But as television comes in the 1950s, guys like LaLanne take these ideas and, you know, they're super telegenic. And they bring them to a whole new audience. And by the time the baby boomers roll around the 1960s and you know, Ken Cooper's Book Aerobics and Farmers Markets and Adele Davis and things like that come back, everybody's forgotten McFadden. The ideas are still there, but his name is completely, you know, turned to dust. And he died in 1955, you know, right at about the time LaLanne's TV show started taking off.
I wonder how he would have felt about it. I wonder if he would have been bitter or if he would have said, thank God someone's carrying the torch.
I think it would have been a little bit of both. I mean, like most of these guys, he had an enormous ego. But you have to remember that LaLanne learned from Paul Bragg.
Right.
You know, and people might be familiar with the Bragg aminos and Bragg cider vinegar and stuff like that. That's Bragg's daughter, Patricia, who put that out.
Right.
And Bragg worked for McFadden. He was one of McFadden's top lieutenants.
And we did, I had Dan Lurie on the show. The day that Jack LaLanne passed, we did a tributary show to Jack, and we talked about how when Jack went to see Jack's mother actually set it up for him to go to a seminar that Paul Bragg was putting on, and Paul Bragg said, "You're a garbage pail. You eat junk." And that was the epiphany. That was the moment for Jack LaLanne. And when he changed his own body, he thought everyone can do this. Why aren't we doing this?
Absolutely.
But interestingly enough, I didn't know that Bragg was a disciple of McFadden.
Oh, he worked for him. He was an employee. Yeah, and then went on to do his own great things after that. But yeah, I mean, he learned from McFadden. I mean, everybody who was in fitness in the 20s and 30s worked for McFadden. Charles Atlas worked for McFadden.
Did he really?
You know, oh yeah, Charles Atlas. I found a picture of what looks to be like a very muscular teenage boy from about 1915, illustrating the perfect proportions of a man. And I looked at it and I was like, wait a minute, that's Charles Atlas. And it says, you know, young Angelo Siciliano.
Angelo Siciliano, right, exactly.
So what happened is McFadden had a contest. He started the first big bodybuilding contest. This was about 20 years before the actual Mr. America contest started, called the World's Perfect Man. And Atlas won it one year. It was at Madison Square Garden. It was a huge deal. This was 1919, 1920. And then Atlas won it again the next year, and McFadden handed him a big check, and then he canceled the contest because he didn't see how anyone could ever beat Charles Atlas.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Now, you also said that there was a meeting between Joe Weider and Bernard McFadden at one point in time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the two people who McFadden really influenced, you know, and this shows how deep down his influence has trickled, were J.I. Rodale, who founded Rodale.
Rodale Publishing, right.
You know, Prevention Magazine, Organic Gardening, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
Who basically modeled his career on McFadden. His first magazine was called True Health Stories, so it was a complete ripoff of True Story.
Right, True Stories.
And the other person is Joe Weider, you know. And Joe Weider sought out a meeting with McFadden when he had just started publishing his magazine. I think he was still in Canada at that point.
Right.
In the early 1950s, and they had a meeting at the New York Athletic Club. And according to Weider's autobiography, you know, McFadden basically sat down and said, "I'm passing the torch to you. You've got the ideas. You take it from here."
Very cool. Very cool. That's an amazing. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall.
Can you imagine
these two guys talking, because they were both such innovators in this area? They had such original thoughts about this burgeoning phenomenon.
And yeah,
it would have been wonderful. We have to take our last commercial break, and when we come back, I want to ask you to maybe weigh in on what you think Bernard McFadden would have thought about some of the things that are going on in today's culture. We're talking with Mark Adams. He is the author of Mr. America. It is the life story of Bernard McFadden. We have to read this book. Just like when you go to church and they make you read certain passages in the Bible so you understand where your religion started from, this is a religion to us. And Mr. America is one of those passages. You've got to get this book. Go to Amazon.com and get it today. We'll be right back.
I'm the hottest gram. I told your mother, y'all can stop me now. Listen to me now.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscle's N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Don't forget to visit orbitnutrition.com. They are blowing out the genomics line. Slinsane is an insulin mimetic that will help you repartition and partition nutrients into muscle instead of fat. And Protocol is a pre- and intra-workout supplement that will allow you to train harder, build more muscle. Go to orbitnutrition.com today and check out the genomics product line. My guest, Mark Adams, author of Mr. America. Great book, great book, great book. I put this book right up there with Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors as a must-read book. Okay. Now, you've done a lot of research into Bernard McFadden's life. So sure. I feel that you're probably the most equipped, and perhaps you don't feel like you are equipped to that degree, but the most equipped to maybe look at him and how he thought of things and look mm-hmm. at some things that are going on today and weigh in on what you think he would have thought about.
Sure.
What do you think he would have thought about the recommended daily allowances of vitamins?
He was a big vitamin fan. I think he would be behind recommended daily allowance of vitamins. I do think he would fall on the side of getting vitamins from food rather than from a pill.
Okay. How about the government's prescribed food pyramid?
Anything that has room for simple carbohydrates, I think he would have nothing to do with.
Yeah, and the whole base of the pyramid is simple carbohydrates, starches.
Yeah, you mentioned that you consider pasteurized milk dead food. He used that exact term to describe anything with white flour, and he said that's dead food. It's not the staff of life; it's the staff of death.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. What do you think he would have thought about anabolic steroids?
I don't think he would have liked the idea of steroids. I think. I've thought about this a lot, actually, in terms of supplements and bodybuilding and what McFadden would have thought. And I think anything that fell on the non-chemical side of the spectrum, he would have been okay with and maybe even supported. You know, his magazines were supported editorially with a lot of what, you know, in the 1920s and 1930s would have been, you know, supplement-type stuff. I think anything that fell on the chemical side of the spectrum, I think he would have considered that akin to a vaccine or something. It would have had nothing to do with it.
Okay, so then what about hormones? Because, you know, the anti-aging community and myself, I embrace hormones because hormones are messengers that tell the body that it's still youthful and thriving as opposed to aging and dying. Do you think that he would have seen a value in hormone replacement therapy for older men and women?
I think he would have found a way to, say, find a food or an exercise or a food and exercise regimen that amps up your hormones.
Uh-huh.
Anything that would have involved a needle injecting hormones or anything like that, he would have had nothing to do with.
Or even oral, because there's oral hormones.
Or even oral, because I think he would have considered that, you know, a sort of
foreign to
chemotherapeutic.
The body.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. Now, I got to ask you, how long did it take you to write this book?
About 4 years.
Okay, so over that four-year period, you're digging into this. You're already writing about this sort of stuff for GQ, and do you train yourself?
I do.
Are you? Would you consider yourself just a casual trainer, or do you have goals? You try to build muscle. You want to increase your squat, that sort of thing.
No, I mean I have done that in the past. Usually, I just train to stay fit, to feel good, that sort of thing.
Okay.
You know, I did try out a lot of McFadden's ideas, even the crazier ones.
Like, which were the crazier ones?
Well, fasting. I did a bunch of 3-day fasts, and I tried to make it through a week. I made it about 5.5 days on just water. The strange thing was I didn't feel very good, I think because I didn't, like, build up to it. I didn't cut down on caffeine going ahead. I didn't cut down on carbohydrates. So it was just a shock to my body, and I had horrible headaches. But at the end of those 5.5 days, I'm not a particularly flexible person.
Right.
But I found that even without having stretched in a week, I could bend over and, without bending my knees, touch my palms to the floor.
Really?
Yeah. I also found that I'd had a sort of a chest infection that I got when I kicked a pile of what was probably asbestos years ago, that it lingered on and off for years.
Huh.
After I did the fast, it never came back.
See?
I can't explain that. No.
Well, I'm telling you, when you give the body a bigger challenge than the challenges it has, it eradicates it. It goes, okay, we've got to fix this because we have a bigger problem at hand here.
Yeah, yeah. I can't explain either of those things. The other weird thing was I did 2 weeks of raw food, which was much more pleasant.
How raw? I mean, what are we talking about? What were the any raw meat?
Oh, no, no, no. Just
raw vegetables,
fruits and vegetables. Nothing cooked. Nothing.
Any raw milk?
No, you can't get raw milk in New York. You can, but it's a lot of hoops you got
to
jump.
Yeah, through. I know, and that's where it is. I have to belong to a farm, a cow share program. I had to buy a share in a cow in order to get raw milk.
Right, I have to technically be a farmer to get raw milk.
Yeah.
But what happened was after a week, I noticed even after a long sweaty workout, my perspiration, my body had started to smell like fruit. My dog was confused because I no longer smelled the same. Yeah.
So, dog was licking his chops while he was looking at you.
How quickly your body's chemistry can change if you just make these simple changes.
What do you think the most profound effect that learning about Bernard McFadden to write this book had on you personally?
Just the knowledge of preventive medicine, you know, that if you make changes to your diet, if you make changes to your exercise regimen, and they don't have to be radical. You can just get rid of some bad things and add a few good things. Your health can improve dramatically, and you can just feel better all the time. I mean, that has been a huge difference in my life since writing this book.
When you were writing this book, you were doing the research, and I'm sure you have friends and family, your wife, and so on, and you're learning about these. You go, my God, this guy was talking about this back then.
Yep.
Do people
get like, okay, enough. We know we can save our own lives. Or were they embracing the information?
I think those who are open to it will embrace it, and I think that's always going to be the case. You know, it's like religion. You can't go to someone and you know, tell them to have faith in the same thing you believe in. They have to be open to it, and if you hit them at the moment that they're open to it, you know, you'll make a connection. You'll make a convert.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I can talk to someone for 10 years, and if they want to eat ice cream, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, they're going to eat ice cream, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Exactly.
So now, this was your first book. You write a lot for magazines and,
yep,
and so on, but this is your first book. So
it is.
Where do you go from? You have another book in mind?
I do have another book coming out at the end of June. It's called Turn Right at Machu Picchu. It's about the ruins, the Inca ruins in Peru.
Okay.
The 100th anniversary of their discovery is coming up in July. And what I do is I found a guide and retraced the discovery of Machu Picchu, which was sort of the greatest archaeological discovery,
right,
of the 20th century, and went way outside of my comfort zone.
How so?
I mean, we were going down, you know, 500, 600-year-old trails where you wouldn't see another human being for 2, 3, 4 days. Way into the jungle. I mean, one of the great things about Peru is that it's probably the most geologically diverse country on Earth.
Right.
So you can wake up in the morning, walk up to a glacier at 3 miles high, and then have lunch in the jungle.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's just
That's
crazy.
That's very cool. Now, did you do some research on the people of that particular extinct civilization, or just the archaeology and so
on? Oh, no, I did. You know, I mean, I'm addicted to, you know, just looking into the health,
right,
background of any sort,
bingo,
of people. Yeah. I mean, one of the interesting things about the Andean people, the Quechua speaking people, is that they eat coca leaves, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I bought a bag of coca when I was in Cusco that would have gotten me 5 to 10 years in the United States. But all of these studies have shown that, you know, coca is not only extremely high in a lot of nutrients in a place where green vegetables don't grow regularly, it converts carbohydrates, and people in the Andes eat a lot of corn and a lot of potatoes,
right,
into a much healthier substance. And, you know, these people, the mule tenders who I hired were all in their 60s and 70s, and, you know, these guys are running up hills at a 45-degree angle.
Right. When
these guys are in
people in the United States
state
at 60 years old are contemplating going into a nursing home.
Absolutely. But these guys have been, you know, walking up and down slopes all their lives and eating organic food. They're in, you know, terrific, terrific shape.
I don't want to get too deep into that. I want to have you back on the show to talk about that when the book is released, because I have some theories. I just talked about this the other day on a show. I said, you know,
yeah,
we need to learn from these other civilizations, because the United States is going down this path where,
yeah,
that, you know, a lot of people think when a civilization disappears that everybody died. No, they migrated to other places. They abandoned where they were, and they said, this
Absolutely.
Isn't working. I'm going. And there's a mass exodus out of the United States right now because people are disgusted with the medical agenda. They're disgusted with the politicians. They're disgusted,
yeah,
with everything. They're going, you know what? I'm going to move to another country.
Well, I've always wanted to go see the Hunzas in what used to be India is now Pakistan.
Oh, I know. We talk you about know. The Hunza on this. I mean, I've done,
yeah,
shows specifically about the Hunza.
Yeah.
But you know that, but their longevity is being challenged because they
well,
are they're eating Western diets now.
Absolutely. Same thing with the Okinawans and the folks down in Ecuador as well. All,
yeah,
all these cultures where people lived to 90 and beyond, you know, the Western ways are infiltrating.
You know, I have to thank you for doing this book. I mean, you could have written about anything you wanted to, and I know that, you know, you wanted to write a home run book, and I have a feeling that you wrote this book, even though it may not have been in your mind, well, this is what everybody wants to read, but everybody,
right,
needs to read this book. Everybody out there needs to read this book. I don't care if you are into physical culture, because you have to hear the words that Bernard McFadden was heralding back then, and look,
yeah,
at today and go, what the hell did we learn? We didn't learn anything.
Yeah, we could have learned this stuff 70, 80 years ago.
I mean, millions of lives could have been saved if they abandoned hydrogenated oil, which he was,
yeah,
totally opposed to, Crisco, back then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, okay, listen, Mark, I want to thank you. I know you're a busy guy, for coming on the show today.
Carl, thanks for having me.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, great. And so go out to Amazon.com or your favorite bookstore and get Mr. America today, and I promise you, you'll love it. If you don't love it, I'll buy it back from you. There you go. All right, Mark, take care.
Thanks, Carl.
All right, so we are going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to have Furious Pete on the show. Furious Pete was an anorexic who is now a world champion eater. And he is a lover of physical culture. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. I can tell. I just know that it's going down tonight. At the door, we don't wait because we know them. At the bar, 6 shots
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has Taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell. You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Okay. We got a guy on the show that I've wanted to have on for a long time. And most of you know him as Furious Pete. He is Pete Tervinsky, and he is a world-class eating champion. I love this guy because me and my buddies from New York, there's nothing like sitting down with your buddies and just, in Italian we call it being a gavone, just eating everything in sight nonstop until you're just so uncomfortable. But apparently Pete doesn't get uncomfortable when he eats massive amounts. How you doing, Pete?
I'm good.
Okay, we got to start out at the beginning, because your story is even more interesting when people realize that at one point in your life, you were actually considered anorexic, correct?
Yeah, it's quite an ironic story. It's definitely shocking for most people to hear.
How did it start out? First of all, when were you diagnosed with anorexia, and what were the effects of the anorexia?
Well, basically, I was diagnosed fully and hospitalized in December 2002. I went to a family doctor, and right away I was sent to the emergency room. I was, same height I am now, which is 6'2", and I was 120 pounds. So, right now I guess I'm, 235. So, I mean, there's a big difference.
Yeah. And you're pretty beefy now. I got to tell you, you got a nice physique, by the way.
Thank you.
Okay. So was this an acquired, I mean, what were you purging and gorging, or were you just not eating?
No, I was anorexic, not bulimic. The reason I turned to anorexia was about a year prior to being hospitalized. A lot of crazy things were happening in my life. My father was hospitalized for bipolar. He had a manic attack, and he was hospitalized for about a month and a half. My mom was hospitalized as well at the same time with a failed pancreas, and she had really bad MS. And then I was told I might have cancer, actually lymph node cancer. And all this happened at the exact same time, and I was only an only child. I still am an only child, and it was just too much to handle for me.
Yeah.
I kind of just turned to food as a form of control to forget about all these issues. And, you know, it was working for me. You know, I was less stressed, I guess, but I just, you know, once you, you know, take food as a form of control, you can take it really way too far, and that's exactly what I did. And I stopped eating, and, you know, it got down to the point where I was eating a lettuce head every day, and that's about it. You know, it was just nothing.
And so you get down to 120 pounds. You've got to look emaciated. You go to the doctors. The doctor says, look, you're going to die if you keep doing this, right?
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
So where do you go from there?
Well, I was taken to the hospital, and my heart rate was down to about 10 beats a minute. So, I mean, that's
They had to pace you then. They had to put you on a pacemaker temporarily.
Yeah. I mean, I was hooked up to IV, everything pretty much, just trying to, you know, keep me stable and everything. And
what's going through your mind? You're laying in the hospital bed. You're thinking, you know what? What was I thinking? I mean, what's going through your mind?
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem with whenever you develop an eating disorder, most people develop something called an image disorder. So they look at the mirror and they see something completely different. So going into the hospital, I didn't think I was as bad as I really was.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, lying down there, you know, I knew, like a month before, that, you know, there was something really bad going on. But, you know, I told myself every day that, okay, tomorrow I'm going to, you know, tackle this issue and become healthy again. And, you know, the next day I would just tell myself the exact same thing. And, you know, just tomorrow never came.
Right.
So, I mean, being hospitalized, I was just like, holy crap. Like, you know, this is bad. You know, I really have to do something about it. And I guess I spent about 6 weeks in the hospital.
Okay.
And then I voluntarily checked myself out. I just, you know, most doctors said I wasn't ready. And to be honest, getting out of the hospital at the start, it was an up-and-down struggle for the first few months. My weight wasn't really going up. It was, like, stabilized. It was maybe going up just a little.
Were you able to eat, or did you, like, despise food? Did you, like, get grossed out when you had to eat?
No, I was able to eat, but I guess I was just seeing a different image, and, like, I had voices inside my head telling me not to eat, and that's a big thing with eating disorders. I think everyone develops this, like, powerful voice. Like, the mind is a very powerful thing.
And, right.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's this voice that developed in my head and just told me, you know, not to eat, you're a fat ass and all this stuff, and, you know, you're going to have a better life if you don't eat, and all this stuff. And it took a while to just battle that voice, and you just got to be strong enough to overcome that voice, and that's when you finally can get better. But it takes a lot of time and effort.
Would you consider yourself, were you overweight before you started to use food as a control mechanism? Were you chubby?
No, I wasn't.
What was your weight then? Before?
I guess I was about 180 pounds.
Okay, that's good for 6'2". According to a doctor, your BMI was perfect, probably.
Yeah, you know? It was normal. You know,
right.
I was active. I was playing sports and all that stuff. Like, I was skiing and playing tennis all the time. And my weight was normal. I was eating normally. I mean, I wasn't eating super healthy or anything like that at that point. Just eating the way a high school kid would eat,
yeah.
Like a normal high school kid would eat, and party with friends and all that stuff. And then, things took a turn for the worst.
So you weren't a big beer drinker, I take it, huh?
I guess back then I wasn't. now things might have changed a little.
Okay, so you when do you sit down and go, okay, I'm going to start eating?
You know what? I saw the look on my parents' face, my friends' face, and, like, I could see how much I was really affecting them both mentally and physically. And then, you know what? I just really, like, so many days I would sit down and just ask myself, can I really do this for the rest of my life? That's what I tell people that ask me questions now today, like, how do I get out of this illness? And I just tell them, like, look deep down inside and ask yourself, is it worth doing this for the rest of your life? because, you know, is it worth starving yourself? Because first of all, you're going to have a good chance of dying from doing this.
Right.
And second of all, you're not going to be able to, you know, do anything that you really want to do in life if you have, like, dreams of, for example, me, when I was really young, I wanted to work for NASA. And, like, there would be no way of even becoming, you know, coming remotely close to that goal.
Sure.
If I continued an eating disorder like that. I mean, the brain can't function without food.
Right.
And so, you know, you just got to ask yourself, like, is it worth it? And I was, I guess, powerful enough with my mind to tell myself that it's not worth it. And I started getting better and better. And I did use, like, fitness and, like, healthy food as, like, an easier way to gain weight.
Right.
I mean, it was just mentally, it was easier for me to gain weight when I was going to the gym, you know, lifting heavy and trying to, you know.
Because you know what's interesting? And there's nothing wrong with this.
Yep.
You know, those of us, and I say us for a reason, because my audience knows I've talked about my approaches to addiction over my life. You know, I grew up in the 70s when drugs were very popular, and not only popular, but they were required. And so, you know, those of us who have addictive personalities, sometimes we have to exchange or divert our attention from a bad addiction to a good addiction. And what's wrong with that? You know what I mean? It's like if you're saving your own life, if you're getting stronger, if you're getting healthier, then that's a good thing. So in my humble opinion, what you did was you still needed some control. That's the thing. Because it sounds to me like life just got out of control so fast that the weight of the unknowingness of what was going to happen with your mom and what was going to happen with your dad and what was going to happen with you. You needed control. Like you said, you needed something that you could predictably have an effect on every single day. And that was basically starving yourself. Now it sounds like maybe with exercise and nutrition as fuel, you have a new kind of control now.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. I mean, what I do now is completely opposite, obviously. But, you know, I had an eating disorder and, I needed something to control. So I controlled fitness and stuff like that. I mean, it definitely helped me out. I know it's very ironic going from where I went to where I was and where I am now. But I mean,
we're going to talk about where you are now when we come back. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Furious Pete. Those of you who know him as Furious Pete. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
I've never felt a
pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Get stronger. Feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yo, give me something to dance to.
Josie's on a vacation far away. Come around and talk it over. So many.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We have a superhuman on the show today, and his name is Pete Chavinsky. Those of you who know him as Furious Pete. Pete, how'd you get the name Furious Pete?
Kind of just a random occurrence. All my buddies were Dr. Furious, all this other stuff, and I was actually just making up a YouTube account to upload a video once, and I couldn't really get, I don't know, all the usernames were taken kind of thing, and then I just came up with Furious, and it wasn't taken, and lo and behold, I'm still Furious Pete.
I like it a lot. Okay, so when do you discover that you have this ability, and this is clearly an ability. I mean, you must have some anatomical difference that most people don't have that allows you to consume such large amounts of food so quickly. When did you discover this?
I guess it was, I was released from hospital, I guess, in early 2003, and then I had like 2 or 3 years it took me to fully recover, and then I had like a year break of pretty much just having a normal life. And then one day we were, after a huge night of drinking with the boys, we went out for breakfast, and we really needed something greasy. So we went to this breakfast pub that had this massive dish called the Linebacker, which literally had two of every breakfast item you could ever think of, sausages, bacon, eggs, toast, French toast, pancakes, all that stuff. So it's a massive plate, and usually people just, you know, they don't finish a plate. And I finished my plate before any of my friends got through a quarter of their meals. And one of my buddies, Mike, he's like, "What the hell, dude? Like, what the hell's wrong with you?" And then he bet me to try and break the restaurant record for plates eaten in an hour. And the record was just two plates, and I actually managed to scarf down four plates. And so, you know, shocking everyone, I started doing these restaurant challenges, and I started breaking records, and I posted all my videos on YouTube. And I guess about a year after this first stunt, you know, hungover as hell, I got recognized, and I got asked to come down for an eating contest in California. And
what contest was that? Which contest was that?
It was called the Collegiate Nationals. It was actually on CBS. Basically, it was all the best college eaters in North America came down. And, yeah, we had a battle, and I don't know, I came out victorious.
So you won that?
Oh, yeah. So I won that contest, and then I won about 19 straight contests after that.
Did you ever do the Nathan's hot dog thing in New York?
Nah, that's kind of a funny question. I wanted to do it for about 3 or 4 years, but those assholes haven't let me in for some reason.
They're afraid you're going to win.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I think maybe they just throw like Canadians or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's a little Asian guy that always wins it, right? The guy
Kobayashi.
Is so thin. Yeah. Do you know him?
Kobayashi, yeah. He's no longer in the league either. They kicked him out.
Or he
refused to sign contracts or something like that. So, I mean, yeah, he was winning everything. He's an awesome eater.
Now, how many hot dogs did he eat to win that championship? Do you know?
I think the last time he competed, it was about 60.
Have you ever tried to eat 60? Like, okay, do you practice at home? You go, okay, I'm going to boil 60 hot dogs and see if I can eat them in 10 minutes. Boom.
No. Okay. I haven't really done that. I mean, I've been lucky enough to be successful in most of my eating contests, and so I haven't really practiced with food. The only practice I really do before a competition is increase my fluid intake so that my stomach capacity is much higher. But other than that, I don't know. I haven't really tried with the actual food before a contest. Like, I mean, if it's something really new that I've never tried eating before, then maybe I will. But
right.
No, I haven't really
like if you had to go to Scotland and eat haggis, you'd want to practice eating that first.
I don't know if I'd want to practice eating it.
I know. I don't think entrails is really a good meal, but go figure.
Yeah.
So what are some of the biggest, like, give me some of the biggest per sitting meals that you've eaten in contests?
I guess the top prize was about, prizes aren't that high or anything like that, right? An eating contest, unfortunately, but top prize was about $5,000 for first place for one of the contests, and that was a meatball eating contest.
What did you have to eat?
Just meatballs.
How many?
I think that contest was 43 2-ounce meatballs in 7 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good contest.
You're real good at pasta. I watched on the internet you devouring a plate of pasta carbonara. I guess you were, I don't know if you were in Germany or Italy in that video.
Oh, right? Yeah, I was doing a show in Italy. Yeah,
And your technique is almost similar to the way a snake eats an animal. I mean, you shovel an amount in your mouth, you bite down. You open up, you shovel another amount in your mouth, you bite down, you open up, and it's like this train of food that just goes down your throat, huh?
Yeah, that's what you got to do. I mean, pasta's pretty easy. All you got to do is tilt the plate and then watch the pasta float out of your throat. But, pasta's probably one of the easiest foods to eat fast.
Now, was I correct? Did you eat 4 kilograms of pasta in that video?
I did know that was a lasagna that I did in that video.
Oh, the four kilos yeah. of lasagna you did.
Yeah, yeah.
And how long did that take you?
I think that was about 20 minutes, but it was about casual eating. I was just playing around with the public and everything. So
when you go to these restaurants and you sit down and you obviously it was staged, right? They knew you were coming, right?
You know what? It's kind of funny. The production crew that I work with, it's a German production, and we actually try not tell the restaurants what we're going to do.
Right.
We actually tell them that we're actually, like, you know, we want to examine, like, unique foods to the area and everything, and then we kind of, you get a, if you don't tell them who you are and you actually just do it and then you shock them, they, I don't know, you just get a better reaction for the camera, so usually we don't tell them what we're going to do.
So, but do you ask them for extra large portions so that it's even
more? Yeah, we do. Yeah. We definitely do. We ask them for family sized portions and stuff like that. And
then
you're like, okay,
and then they're,
sure, go-
and they're,
not?
They're
and then,
gone in 15 seconds. You're like,
right,
you're all done.
Right, yeah.
Now, when you eat, like, let's just take that plate of lasagna. I mean, 4 kilograms, that's what, 8.5 pounds or 9 pounds of lasagna that you ate in a sitting.
Right.
Do you even have an appetite when you're doing that?
You know what? You don't have to be hungry to do that necessarily.
Right.
It definitely helps, but you kind of train your body that, you know, you don't even if you think you're full, you're really not. You can still push your body to further. I mean, when a person gets full normally, I mean, they can keep eating. Obviously, it's going to hurt a little, but I mean, I guess us competitive eaters have developed the ability to stretch our stomachs to you know, crazy sizes. So I guess you need a pretty good appetite, but it's, you know, it's at that point it's like mind over matter when it gets to those amounts, which I think it's helps me, you know, like my past kind of helps me, you know, the mind over matter, you know,
yeah.
Kind of getting over my eating disorder, and now I'm like kind of
I think that if you are capable of starving yourself to death, then
yep.
You are definitely capable of overeating. There's no, I got you. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
There's a mechanism there. You know. What about anatomically? Do you think that you are anatomically gifted? Do you think that you have, you know, something special about your digestive tract that enables you to do this? I mean, do you get, like, after eating 8 pounds of lasagna,
yep.
Are you uncomfortable?
You know what? I'm not necessarily uncomfortable because that's just pretty dense. So it's like it doesn't really stretch your stomach that much. I mean, the gas that comes out of my ass after is pretty bad. But you know what? I really don't want to eat after that, put it that way.
Right.
I can have a drink or two after that. But other than that, it's...
How long will you go after that before you have another meal just for sustenance, I mean?
It all depends when I have that meal. Let's say I have it in the evening, then I'll have breakfast the next day.
Gotcha.
But if I have that in the morning, I'll have a normal meal probably for dinner about like 5-6 hours later.
Yeah, that's pretty intense. Do you end up with like a distended stomach? Does your stomach really stick out far when you eat that much food, or do you stay pretty contoured?
You know what? It does stick out. Like, I mean, there's been times where I'll go into a contest with almost a six pack, and then afterwards I'll look like a pregnant woman.
Really?
So yeah, it's pretty bad sometimes, but it comes with the job. And I mean, I'm back to normal in about a day and a half. So,
are you ever worried that eating certain foods could be deleterious to your health? Like, for instance, if you eat something that's so super fatty that your blood could get so thick so quickly.
Like when I ate a pound of butter or I chugged a bottle of olive oil on YouTube?
No, I didn't see those. I mean, I eat a stick of butter regularly myself, but I mean raw unpasteurized butter, by the way, not the stuff off the shelf. But you drank a whole quart, I take it, of olive oil?
Yep.
And yeah,
I drank that in a minute and a half on YouTube. So
and that had to, that had to have a laxative effect on you, didn't it?
I went to the washroom. I don't know. The next 3 days in the washroom were quite interesting. It was quite smooth.
Yes,
you know what I mean.
I would say so, because that much oil would have a laxative effect. Do you notice any benefits after consuming a large amount of olive oil? Did you notice that your skin or your hair was shinier than normal? No, I'm serious.
I really wasn't paying attention to that, really. I mean, what I do, stuff like that, it's not for health or enjoyment. It's for entertaining people.
Have you ever been invited, like, on the Jackass episodes to, like, do some insane food stunt?
Not yet, unfortunately.
Need you. They absolutely need you on that
show. Totally agree.
Yeah, you would be great on there. I could see you, like, them going into a restaurant and you, like, I would imagine what would really be fun, because for those of us who've traveled to Europe, you know that when you go to a restaurant, they'll seat you with other people. There's no such thing as just you and your family at a table for four and you're only taking two seats. Every seat is filled in a European restaurant. You would agree with it, right? Okay. So it would be wonderful to have you sit down at a table and have your food served, devour all of your food like in seconds, and then reach over and grab their plates and just like devour their food too. And just they would be just sitting in awe, like watching you eat everybody's food. It would be good. They'd go from table to table and just eat everybody's food.
That would definitely be entertaining.
Yeah, that would be a great candid camera episode.
Yeah,
I'd like to be involved in that one actually. But anyway, okay. So, do you have any preferences? Do you have any favorite foods?
I'm like anyone else, like, I love steak. And so, I mean, if I can do that for a challenge, like, I mean, I've done Guinness World Records for 72-ounce steak. I did that in 6 minutes, 48 seconds last summer.
Is that the same? I was just going to ask you, you know, there's a restaurant in Texas that I visited one time called the Big Texan. I want to say it's, okay.
I definitely want to head down there one day, but I just haven't had the time or budget kind of thing to head down there yet. So, I mean, there are 72-ounce steaks everywhere, right? So, I mean, the steak's a steak, but, I mean, it's more official when it's down there, obviously.
Yeah, because, first of all, if you win, they put your name on the wall. And interestingly enough, while more men have tried to eat the Big Texan steak, and you have to eat everything. You have to eat the steak. You have to eat the potato. You have to eat and the
shrimp
vegetables.
Cocktail,
the whole, yeah,
salad.
Right. More men have tried it, but more women have actually succeeded. I can't fathom that.
Really?
I mean, I guess especially if a woman has been pregnant before, her stomach is kind of like an accordion already, so she can really just blow it up. You know, maybe that's the secret there. I don't know. But anyway, all right, look, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about your lifestyle of physical culture, because obviously your eating competitions are intriguing. But you are a physical culturist. You train hard and heavy. And you obviously have the physique that shows it. We're going to talk more about your normal nutritional protocols. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, sit tight. We're talking with Pete Travinsky. You know him as Furious Pete. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Muscle building magic
magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low, low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent
you. Pre-workout products crank you up, then leave you flat and fatigued. Except now, you're strung out from being overstimulated, hungry because it destroyed your appetite, and in a catabolic state because you can't eat for recovery and growth. That's why you need to get Lit Up from Applied Nutraceuticals. Lit Up is an original blend, not a copycat formula here. Lit Up delivers the perfect amount of energy, focus, pump, and intensity without feeling strung out or a loss of appetite for hours after your workout. Plus, Lit Up creates an anabolic environment by jacking testosterone levels through the roof. Get Lit Up today at appnut.com.
If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You can learn more about Furious Pete by going to FuriousPete.com. He's got a great blog there, lots of videos. Okay, so you are clearly a physical culturist. You like to train. I saw some of your workout routines when you travel. You get into the gym. Looks like you're a big fan of squatting. Is that correct?
I do love squatting. I love deadlifting more, actually, to be honest.
Me too. My favorite lift is the deadlift. It really is.
It's so much fun. I don't know.
Well, you know what it is, too? I'm like you. I'm 6'2". And generally, we aren't really built to squat, us taller guys. You know, it's hard for us to get our asses down to our ankles.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. But the deadlift, we can really, you know, muster up everything. That whole posterior chain can really get to work.
Right.
Kinesiology wise, and that's my favorite lift as well. But I do like to squat as well. All right, so let's talk a little bit about your training. When you're not traveling, how often do you go to the gym?
I try and go about probably 5 times a week. You know, that varies. Sometimes, you know, I get a bit caught up with other things and everything. I don't stress out if I miss a day or anything like that. I mean, I just try and go as often as I can. But right now, I did the whole bodybuilding thing for, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years.
Right.
Then I kind of wanted to switch
compete?
It up and have some variety.
Did you compete?
I've never competed. I want to one day. Unfortunately, I can't really with my little hobby on the side, right?
Right.
It's kind of hard to, you know, get flat or anything like that.
Hard to get ripped when you're eating 8 pounds of lasagna for a video, you know?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. So maybe one day. I definitely want to compete one day, and I definitely want to prep for a contest well enough that, you know, if I do compete, it's going to be once, and I'm going to win a contest, and that's it. You know, I'm going to give it my all and everything. But that day has not come yet, but one day for sure.
Would you say you train for strength? You like to do strongman and Olympic lift?
I like to do strongman. I still do bodybuilding training probably once a week now. I just do a full body, you know, just to try and keep my size up.
Right.
Or like, you know, certain features of my body in check.
Right.
Then I do strongman, and I also do, I guess for my cardio purposes, I do a lot of CrossFit too.
Cool.
I like to do everything pretty much.
And luckily, your bout with anorexia didn't last long enough to damage your heart, because anorexics generally end up with severe heart problems as a result of the lack of proper nutrients. There's quite often episodes of ischemia that they suffer from. So you're in good shape in that area, it sounds like.
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't had any problems or anything like that. I mean, my endurance isn't, like, I'm not a marathon runner or anything like that. I hate running, but everything else seems to be in check. Like, I mean, I never really have issues. I mean, my diet's usually pretty good, so, I mean, that probably helps it out.
And that was my next question. What is your diet like? Are you a ketogenic type eater predominantly, and then you do, like, a high-carb day refeed, or do you have carbs in every meal? How do you eat?
Generally, carbs don't really satisfy me that much. Not as much as I like to do a high protein, high fat diet. I guess in the morning I like to, you know, I have, I guess this morning I had 10 egg whites, 3 whole eggs, and then a cup of oats and whatever.
But you just said you're a high protein, high fat guy. Why not just have all the yolks? Why not just? I mean, I eat all. I eat a half a dozen to a dozen eggs with breakfast, and I eat yolks and everything.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's just what I've always done. I don't know. I get beaters on the side and everything. And I mean, I totally can. But you know, I have. I guess I kind of have quite a bit of carbs to begin the day with.
Gotcha.
So I do like usually about a cup and a half to 2 cups of raw oats. Mm. But after that, it's like a high protein, high fat diet. You know, I'll do 4 tablespoons of peanut butter sometimes, and then a whey shake, you know, as a snack. And then I'll do steaks, and then I'll do chicken and avocado and stuff like that. I mean, that's just what fills me up, what satisfies me the most. You know, eating pasta and all that is, sure, it's filling, but it's just, I don't really consider it that satisfying, you know. I'll eat it whenever, but,
And it's crap, too. I mean, it's spiking insulin, it's
making
totally.
Fat.
And
yeah, totally. I just generally feel better on a high-protein, high-fat diet.
Are you a follower of Dr. Mauro DiPasquale? He's up in your area there, I know. You know, the anabolic diet and all that sort of stuff?
I know about it. I can't say that I'm a true follower. I don't.
Because
he's
a huge high-protein, high-fat guy, and he has been for decades, and he's worked with some professional bodybuilder and brought them up to 310, 320 pounds, and then whittles them down to like 280 of ripped muscle. And he does, and it's all high protein, high fat.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, very, very good. Okay, let's talk a little bit about something that you mentioned at the beginning of the show. Whatever happened to the cancer?
Well, it kind of turns out the doctor was a complete moron. And about 4 months later, when I was nice into my anorexic phase, he told me that, oh, I made a mistake. My mom pretty much wanted to kill him.
You know what's really funny? You need to listen to the first half of this show once it's published on our website or on iTunes, because the first half of the show, I had a guy on named Mark Adams who wrote a book about Bernard McFadden. Do you know who Bernard McFadden was?
I do not.
He's the father of physical culture. He's the first guy to talk about bodybuilding and eating raw and all this sort of stuff back in the late 1800s. And one of the things that he said was, when the body is at its illest, the best thing you can do is to not eat and fast for days, because you challenge you actually can heal disease when you fast. Now, there is evidence that cancers can go away during fasts. So the only reason I say this to you is I'm not suggesting that doctor wasn't a douchebag.
Yeah.
By saying, you know, he probably did get it wrong. But there's also a possibility that while your anorexia was not a good thing for you overall, it may have been a really great thing for your cancer.
Hmm.
So
I never thought about that. That's the first time I've ever heard that.
I actually teamed you up with this interview for this reason, because Bernard McFadden talks about fasting, and we were going to talk about overeating with you and the anorexia, and I thought, you know, it's an interesting subject to kind of cross over to. But there is evidence that diseases and illnesses can be cured during periods of fasting, and you took it to extreme fasting, basically.
Yeah,
you
know? No.
So anyway, interesting, but okay.
That's crazy. I never heard that before. That's actually, I like that.
How's your mom and dad doing?
Generally, I don't know. Their dad's pretty much the same on same meds, and mom is just up and down. That's just the way it is with MS, unfortunately. But
Very sad.
I push her to the gym all the time to, I guess that's pretty much the only cure right now is physical activity and
that's
all that.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, so keep pushing her to the gym, and we go all the time, and, I know that, and I guess my documentary that came out on my life focuses on that a lot. So
when did that come out?
It aired last year in a film festival here called Hot Docs in Toronto, and then it's aired in 8 different film festivals around the world, and then it's airing on television and in planes right now. You can
What is the name of the documentary?
It's called The Story of Furious Pete.
Oh my God! That's what I called this show today. I hope they don't sue me.
No, don't worry.
I better change that anyway. Wow, that's pretty cool. And so, did they focus on your whole life?
My entire life, from coming from an eating disorder to where I am now, and how I'm actually trying to do a lot of charity work with my eating, like just show that it's not only for, you know, gluttony and for retarded reasons. You know, you can also do something good with it, right?
So are you raising money for a particular charity?
I'm actually raising money for the MS Society. So
cool.
Just to support my mom kind of thing. And just, you know, it's a bigger motivation for me to, you know, to keep doing it rather than, you know, doing it for any charity. I'm doing it for something that means a lot to me.
Do you have any upcoming events that are associated with the raising of money for MS?
Right now I haven't had the time to do it. I just got back actually from filming overseas in Asia and basically in Hong Kong and Bangkok for the German television show again. And just haven't had time to sit down and think of anything yet, but I'm definitely planning on doing something in the summer.
How cool is it that people want to fly you to other countries to get you to eat? You know what I mean? It's like
dream come true. I mean, my biggest hobby is traveling, and the very fact that I can do it now for free, you know, go overseas and get paid for it, and just all I have to do is eat food and, you know, have a blast kind of thing, it's kind of a dream come true.
Do people contact you? Do you have like an agent that's looking for these opportunities for you?
Oh yeah, I mean, I booked a lot of my own stuff. Unfortunately, my agents kind of suck. They haven't really done much for me.
I bet they take their percentage. That's for sure.
Yeah. They really don't do much. And unfortunately, I book most of my own stuff. Like all the TV stuff I've ever done. I've done Discovery Channel. I've done National Geographic. I've done Sports Science on Fox. And I mean, I've done a bunch of shows, and I booked them all myself. So I mean. Hopefully I can get more gigs.
what's the strangest thing you had to eat for a competition or just for an exhibition?
I guess it was just now. I was in Hong Kong, and we ate some really weird stuff. I did ox testicle, chicken testicle, camel hump, beef esophagus, arteries.
You mean rooster testicles, not chicken testicles, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, okay, sorry. Okay. They just called it chicken testicles down there.
Right. And so, I mean, ox testicles are I mean, I've eaten Rocky Mountain oysters, which are sheep's testicles.
Right.
And they're very grizzly and gnarly. So I would imagine ox testicles just have to be a bigger version of that, huh?
To be honest, out of like all the weird stuff that I ate, the ox testicle was the tastiest. It was actually pretty like tender and meaty. I mean, it's kind of disturbing to say that you enjoyed ox testicle, you know.
Hey, back in the day, that was the way guys got testosterone. I mean, you know, I mean, orc chick
yeah.
was a glandular. They would you know, what do they call that? Desiccate. ox testicles and bull's testicles, and men would take that to get the testosterone that was in it.
Right. Natural Viagra, man.
Yeah, man. So I mean, it's been around for a long time. You didn't have to eat any snake or snake blood while you were in
it? I wanted to. I was looking around for that because we were going to do the whole shebang, you know, you find a snake, you get the blood, eat the heart, and then cook it up. But it wasn't snake season apparently down there, so... Wow. We missed out on that opportunity, unfortunately.
Well, lucky you got out of Japan in time before Fukushima.
Well, I wasn't in Japan.
Oh, okay.
All I did was Hong Kong and Bangkok.
Oh, okay.
We were supposed to go to Japan, to Tokyo, to film. Actually, I was supposed to be there when the earthquake struck. So luckily, I wasn't in
Thank
there.
Thank God, man! Thank yeah. God you wasn't there. All right, look, we're gonna take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we're gonna wrap it up. We're talking with Furious Pete. Go to FuriousPete.com. Invite him to your house. Have him come over and eat, and then pay him money for eating. It's fun to watch. We'll be right back. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro Series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro Series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro Series products today at primordialperformance.com. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MAHLER.com. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Talking with Furious Pete this hour. Pete, you want to plug anything? You got anything coming up you want to plug? Or you want to plug anything that's going on with raising money for MS? You know.
Sure. I mean, basically I want to plug my YouTube, Furious Pete 123, if you ever want to check out crazy videos. And, check that out. I got a bunch of crazy cool TV shows coming up, but unfortunately I can't really talk about them yet, but big things in the works. So, I mean, if just keep your eyes glued on FuriousPete.com, and
very
I'm
cool.
sure there'll be stuff coming. Can I also just mention my favorite, I guess, website right now that really did help me recover was bodybuilding.com.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome place that's been supporting me for a long time, and all the crew there on the forums, the myths and everything, and yeah, really good people, and just, I don't know, they really helped me out with when I was really sick, and helped me recover. And
so you used to go there and get nutritional information, that sort of stuff?
Totally, nutritional information, and then if I had any questions about, you know, trying to recover, I would ask questions on the forums, and then, yeah, get nutritional information, order some supplements there, like protein, vitamins, and all that.
You have any favorite supplements?
I guess one of my favorite, I have a bunch of favorites. There's a favorite protein is probably Extreme Formulations UP 2.0. I don't know if you ever heard of it.
No, haven't.
No, fantastic. I don't know. The flavoring is just awesome. And then actually one of the products that you guys advertise a lot is by DS Lean Extreme.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, I definitely use that in contest season or in my competitive eating contest season. It's totally different from bodybuilding, and yeah. Definitely helps me stay lean.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, DS has got great products.
Yeah.
Let's just summarize here for a second the championships that you've won in the eating contest genre. Give me some ideas.
So far I've done 55 contests to date. I've won 52 of those.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've done well.
Wow.
But I guess
what's the largest amount you've had to eat in one sitting to win a contest?
I guess I'll name some crazy stuff. I did 8.5 pounds of latkes in 8 minutes.
Wow.
So,
and I like potato latkes. That's good.
Nice and greasy and potatoey. Yeah. Trying to think of crazy stuff. 27 jumbo slices of pizza in 12 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, that was in New York last year.
27 slices of pizza in how many minutes?
12.
12 minutes. That's a slice every 30 seconds, basically.
Yeah. Jumbo slices. Yeah, it was good times. In Germany, I ate a 15-pound burger in 30 minutes.
Wow.
That was a good time. Let me think here. Ooh. I've done, I've done so many that I can't even remember.
Are you married? Do you have a girlfriend in your life?
I have a girlfriend in my life, and she's an awesome girl, and I've been with her for 2 years. So,
What does she think about your strange talent for being able?
She
to...
She loves it. I mean, I think she's my number one supporter. So I mean, it's definitely a nice surprise to have something like that in your life, especially like, I mean, it's hard to find somebody that supports this kind of sport in quotations. And I'm lucky enough to have somebody.
I hope they let you into that Nathan's contest. I would love to see you go. I bet you could eat 80 hot dogs. I would love to see it.
Yeah, it would be cool. I mean, you know what? They're all about money, and if they feel that, you know, I wouldn't be good advertising, that they're not going to use me. So, I mean, that's
yeah. But why? But why wouldn't you be good advertising? Look, I didn't even know who the Asian guy was that won that competition. Everybody knows who you are.
Well, I don't know if everyone. If everyone did know, then I don't know.
Listen, my listeners email. I had 3 different listeners email me and say, "You got to have Furious Pete on the show." I was like, "Really?" And then I looked at you. I was like, "Oh my God, this guy's great." I mean, you know, I mean, the reason I really like you is because you also embrace physical culture. So it's not only that you have this amazing talent to be able to consume copious amounts of food in short periods of time, but you're a bodybuilder, weightlifter, strongman guy, and so that's even better. It's like, oh my God, this guy he's a physical culturist. He does this other thing on the side. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
And so listeners asked me to have you on the show.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, it's great that I have a nice following in the fitness world. It's just I gotta open up to everyone else too. But I definitely appreciate the support, and thanks for having me on. It's
pleasure.
It's been fun.
And if you're ever down in the Louisville, Kentucky area,
yep,
let me know. We'll go out to eat.
Sounds good. Is the bill on you?
Oh yeah, of course.
Awesome. So I'll be eating a lot.
You know what? I can't. You know what? I think I can eat a lot. But I can eat a lot for an average person. I can't eat a lot compared to you.
That's the thing with competitive eating. Everyone thinks they can eat a lot.
Right.
Or everyone thinks that they can do these contests. And then they try it. And then they're just like, wow, that was a lot harder than I thought. because you're eating for 8 to 10 minutes, and it's like you're pounding food every second. You have
You're not even eating technically. You're just swallowing.
You're swallowing. Yeah. If you're chewing, then you're not in the game. You're doing something wrong because you want to swallow that food as fast as possible. You don't want to chew it. Chewing just slows you down, right?
Do you think a small shot glass of oil to start the game going, like to lubricate the esophagus, help, like when all you're doing is swallowing food?
You know what? I don't know. Never really tried that.
I was just thinking about the mechanics of biting something that fits in the entire interior of your mouth. And without chewing it, just forcing it down your throat and swallowing it, I'm thinking, gee, you could get dried out after a while and like start.
Well, the thing is, during a contest, you're drinking a lot of fluid. I mean, a lot. I mean, sometimes I'll be drinking weight-wise, just as much as I'm eating.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end of the contest, like, you're eating 8 pounds of food? No, you're really putting 16 pounds into your stomach.
Ah.
So, yeah, it's crazy. You're drinking a lot of fluid. That's like the biggest mistake some amateurs make when they are eating, is just not drinking enough.
Because they're afraid. Because I see that I'm an amateur. Because I would think, well, gee, you're gonna end up filling up on fluid, and you're not gonna be able to eat as much food.
Right, but you're not gonna be able to get that food down fast enough, right? So I mean, definitely fluid helps, and that's definitely a little trick.
Yeah, there you go. So now you heard it right here on Superhuman Radio. If you want to be
just
a champion,
don't try
eater.
Competitive eating.
No,
it's my sport.
Listen, not only that, but I got to be honest with you. You have to have some anatomical gifts to be able to, like when I eat a really big meal, I feel it up in my chest. It's like it presses up. My stomach doesn't work like yours does. Yours, it fills out. Mine fills up. And
yeah.
I have a limit to how much I can put in my stomach before I get really uncomfortable. Like, I just want to lay down now. I can't sit up anymore. It's like it's.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing, because if you just kept on eating, then, well, you wouldn't be spinning through the door right now, right?
No, that's right. But you know what? Yeah. If I could turn it into muscle, I wouldn't care.
Oh, yeah, totally.
There you go.
if I could only do that, then I'd be on stage right now, right?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, listen, Pete, I want to thank you for coming on the show and talking about your life and your lifestyle, and
yes.
I wish you all the luck in the world, man.
Thanks a lot for having me, and I'll definitely keep on listening to you, and keep up the good work.
Yeah, listen to the first hour of the show. I think you get a kick out of the thing about fasting and its ability to cure disease. And I would say that you may have done the anorexia for the wrong reason, but it may have helped you in a different way. So
maybe, who knows? I guess there'll always be a mystery, right?
All right, brother, you take care of yourself. Okay.
Yeah, take care. Thanks a lot.
Okay. All right, so we want to thank Furious Pete for coming on and talking about his prowess as an eater and a physical culturist. Also, Mark Adams for coming on and talking about Bernard McFadden at the beginning of the show. And we will have another great episode of Superhuman Radio for you tomorrow, so tune in then.